And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it. Picture that. His countenance was like lightning, and his clothing as white as snow. And the guards shook for fear of him and became like dead men. But the angel answered and said to the woman, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen. As he said, come, see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead." Amazing that. The amazing fact here. The first people to proclaim that Jesus rose again and conquered death were two women. Go tell his disciples that he's risen from the dead, and indeed he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him. Behold, I have told you. So they went out quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy, and ran to bring his disciples word. I want everybody to stand, and we're going to sing that old classic. You have to sing it on Resurrection Sunday. Let's sing this song. Dave, go ahead and put in Heroes. Here we go.
From the grave he rose. when a legal case is brought before a court of law, there always has to be proof. And one of the strongest forms of evidence is an eyewitness. So we'll now read to you the proof of the resurrection. Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received, in which you stand, by which also you are saved. If you hold fast that word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you first of all that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, and that he also rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen by Cephas, then by the 12. After that, he was seen by over 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain to the present, but some have fallen asleep. After that, he was seen by James, then by all the apostles, then last of all, he was seen by me also, as by one born out of due time. 1 Corinthians 15:1-8.
He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know He lives. He lives within my heart. You know, when I was younger in church, where they would say, they'd draw it way out, and then they'd say, He lives within my heart. Now, we're going to have another special in just a minute, but listen, this is the time of the service. We all just sang, You ask me how I know He lives within my heart. And so I'm going to give some of you the opportunity where you're sitting to share a testimony. Like, what does this day mean to you? How do you know He lives within your heart? And I'm going to start, so I'll give you a little time to think about it. And when I turn it over to you, I don't want just deer in the headlights looking at me. You should be always ready to give an answer to the hope that lies within you. I know He lives. Oh my gosh, I remember age 12 in a Baptist church, and it was little back then, Bethesda. And I remember I had a friend in fifth grade, Joe Black. And he kept saying, Kevin, you got to get saved. You want to go to heaven, don't you? Don't you want to live forever? If you're not saved, you're going to go to hell. Now, this is a fifth grader. The person witnessing to me to be born again was a fifth grader. And I was a fifth grader. So I don't want anybody telling me, well, they're not old enough. They got to be 18, something like that. So I really got concerned about it. And Joe, being young, he said, I want you to come to church because my preacher will tell you just exactly how to be saved. That was Reverend Tyler. How many of you remember Reverend Tyler? Boy, people still remember Reverend Tyler. Now that man, now that I understand the fivefold ministry, he was an evangelist more than he was a pastor. He, all his life, what he was concerned about was getting people saved. And they built a fleet of buses, and they would go out even into Indianapolis, highways and byways, and pick people up. Well, I went into that little Baptist church, and it was in the smaller sanctuary. They hadn't built the new one. And I heard Reverend Tyler speak, and I was sitting back there, and if the camera would have been on my face, you would have saw conviction written right across my face, because Reverend Tyler knew how to do it. And he gave an invitation, and of course, I think about every song they sang was I always say it was Billy Graham's song, Just As I Am. To that song, I came forward, and I knew I wasn't getting saved just by coming forward. I knew that I had to trust Jesus. I didn't understand it all. So a man in Bethesda took me to a side room privately, and I like this model. That's why I always say, you want to be saved up here, I'd like somebody to take you in the prayer room or somewhere privately. But this fella opened up the Bible to me, and he showed me that I was lost, that I was a sinner, that I needed a Savior. And he said, do you understand that? You've done bad things. And I said, oh, yeah, I understand that. You know, you can't do anything about your sin. You can't get rid of it. He said, but one did. And God sent His Son, Jesus, into the world. And He showed me how Jesus came and died in my place. And He showed me the Scriptures. And he said, do you understand that? And I said, I do. And he said, well, the Bible also says here that if you call on Him, whoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. It's as simple as that. And I said, really? He said, yeah. He says, do you know Jesus keeps His promise? Because He rose again. They killed Him on a cross, but 3 days later He rose again. And when you call on Him, you're confessing that He's alive because you're calling on Him. You wouldn't be calling on a dead man, would you? And I said, no, I believe He rose again. He said, that's the confession I wanted to hear. So I called on His name and asked Him to save me. And I remember walking out of that church that day, and it was like June. It was in the summertime, and everything looked brighter. The sun was brighter. The birds were singing. Everything just was so, it just came alive. I knew I was saved. You know how I knew I was saved? Because I believed the Word. I believed what Jesus said, that if I called on Him, He would save me. I knew He was not a liar. If you've called on Him today to save you and you have doubts, remind yourself of that. He's not a liar. He will keep His promise. Now, into my teenage years, I got pretty wild because I didn't keep going to church. I didn't stay in church, which is what I should have done. I didn't let anybody disciple me, and I got pretty wild. I got involved in drugs and a lot of things. Terrible things happened to me. And I found myself one terrible day, I had overdosed on drugs. I had overdosed on something called LSD. I don't know what they call it today, but I took too much of it. Any of it's too much, but I took too much. And I went 2 days without coming down from that horrible, and it wasn't a fun trip. It was a terrible, horrifying trip. And I thought I was never going to come down. And when I finally did come down from that, in the next several weeks and months, I kept having what they call flashbacks, where I would be okay, and then suddenly this terrible fear would come over me, and I felt like I was tripping all over again. And I finally come to the conclusion, maybe I'm in hell. Maybe I'm really in hell. Maybe I died and I don't know it. And I'm trapped like this and I'll never... There's nothing worse than being a prisoner to your mind. You know, one of the fruits of the Spirit is self-control. And when you lose control of your mind, it's not fun. So in desperation one night in my little bedroom, and I just had another flashback, and I think I was 17 at that point. I remembered back at age 12 where I asked Jesus in my heart, and they told me he would never leave me or forsake me, but I didn't know where he was. I couldn't find him. I thought maybe I was in hell. And in desperation, I kept saying, Lord, can you forgive me? Can you forgive me? All the stuff I did, where are you, Lord? You know, and I really thought that that was it. Now, you're talking about a young man that was not taught anything about the Holy Spirit at all. I didn't even know there was a Holy Spirit. But at that moment when I cried out to him, and I meant it, Jesus was, and I don't care what anybody wants to say to me, he was in my room instantly. I felt his presence. No, I didn't see him floating around and you know, anything like that. He was there, though. By the presence of his Holy Spirit, I felt his presence, and I felt love and joy and peace. I didn't know that was some of the fruits of the Spirit, but he was there, and I knew he was there. And then he spoke to me very plainly, and he didn't say, thou wouldest. He didn't use King's English on me. He said, Kevin, stop crying. Everything's going to be all right. And then I really cried because I was so happy. I knew was taking those drugs away from me. I knew he was taking them out of my system. I knew that he was setting me free. And I was so happy just to know he indeed did not leave me and forsake me despite how ugly I had become. And you know what? You know how I know that? You ask me how I know he lives? He took it all away. All those flashbacks stopped. I was 17, I'm 69 now, 68, going to be 69. How many years is that? I've been clean from drugs and the effects of it. It was as if I never touched a drug, and I never looked back. I never touched them again. I spent my senior year in high school doing just 3 hours a day at school and working, and I got out of there. I really had to get away from my old friends because they were trying to pull me back down. Here I am today. Because there were faithful people, a faithful fifth grader, and a church that knew how to tell me how to be saved, to call on Jesus. And when I did that, and some of you have recently called on Jesus, you're going to find out as you go into your life that he's there. He'll make his presence more and more known to you. All I can say is the proof for me is right now, here I stand, and I didn't do that myself. I couldn't set myself free at all. You ask me how I know he lives. He spoke to me more times than I can tell you. To this day, he speaks to me in my heart. He speaks to me in his word. I've watched him heal bodies miraculously before my very eyes. I've seen so many things that you think you're going to talk me out of it, you would have to talk me out of my very life, because that's my life. Now, I'm going to ask you, how do you know he lives? You don't have to give a long testimony like I did, but does anybody here want to testify? Oh, good. We're going to start over here with the newborn. I love it. You testify, brother.
So I'm going to tell a bit of a story, and it's going to be kind of similar to yours, about a time when I failed one of the worst times I ever have in my whole life, and I failed Jesus. When I had moved here not that long ago, I had told myself that this was going to be a very big change. I had come from New York with my fiance at the time here, and everything all at once just changed. My whole life was different. I had talked a lot with my dad, and he had really been trying to encourage me to try out the church and try out Christianity. And I said, well, you know what? This can be a good thing. I'm going to give it a shot. And I did, and I started trying to come to church, hear the word, and feel Jesus' presence. And I came to a point where I did, where I accepted Jesus, and I realized that Jesus is real, and he does love me. And then, as they tell you, when you come to Jesus, that's when the real spiritual battle begins. It doesn't get easier, it gets a whole lot harder. And unfortunately, there was a day where it was on a Sunday, and I wanted nothing more than a rest that day, and I had to do some work, and I was exhausted. And coming from New York, I used to smoke a lot of marijuana, and it was legal out there. I was told it was completely normal. It's just what you do when you're in New York. It's the same as drinking alcohol. It's just fun. And I used to love it, and I hadn't done it in a while at that point on that day. And I thought, well, you know what, I'm just exhausted. I just want to lay back, and I just want to get high. And I had just met Jesus not that long ago, and I asked him, Jesus, is this what I should do? Is this okay? And I heard the voice in my head telling me, no, don't do it. You should not do it. It will be a mistake. But I just kept saying, well, it can't be that bad. It's natural. It grows on the earth. You know, it can't be bad. It's not like I'm doing cocaine. And I just kept hearing that voice saying, no, don't do it, don't do it. And then I got to a point where I was like, okay, well, you know what? I am just so tired. I'm going to do it. And if this is wrong, you need to show me this is wrong. And I pray, Jesus, that you will tell me that this is not what I should do. And I got high. I smoked, and immediately it just felt like the devil was entering my body. And I realized that there is a reason it is called the devil's lettuce. It's not just a funny name that they call it. It really was. And then all of a sudden, I was terrified. I could feel that the devil had entered my body, and I was the one who put him to my lips and let him in. And I started noticing that all these things that I used to think were amazing weren't. All this relaxation that you get where you can just sit back and watch TV for hours, that's not a good thing. It was turning me slothful. And then I realized that, you know, me being funny and charismatic as I was with Adrian really was just turning me into a jerk. I wasn't being funny. I was just making fun of her and being mean. And I was just terrified. And I felt, well, I knew that this was going to last a few hours. What am I supposed to do? And it's like the devil came in and he was just whispering in my ear and he was yelling at me, telling me I was a failure and that Jesus didn't love me anymore. And I had texted my dad and I had just told him, like, Dad, I messed up. Please don't come in here. He was staying in the house with me. Please don't come in here. I was extremely embarrassed. And he saw that text and he just knew to come in. And Jesus called him and he came in there. And all I felt was naked. I realized that the word naked never meant so much to me as it did, that I felt like Adam and Eve after they ate that apple. And I ate it with my Eve right here. And I was naked too. And then my dad came in, and he didn't come in alone. He came in with Jesus, and Jesus walked in that room with him. And my dad sat with me, and he got me and Adrian through that night. And I realized that Jesus was right there sitting next to me, and that on both of my shoulders was my dad and Jesus guiding me through the night. We rebuked the devil. I coughed it out of my lungs. I coughed like I never have before. All this mucus started pouring out of me. I started sweating. It was a very intense experience. But I realized that Jesus was still there. It doesn't matter how much you mess up. You are going to fail. And especially being a new Christian where I didn't know what was right or wrong at that point, and I still am learning, you're going to mess up. You're going to have those days where you are going to fail. But he will be there. And as long as you try to listen to him and you try to get past the failures and realize that he still loves you, he will show you that love and he will get you through the hardest of nights.
Amen. Love it. That was perfect. That's a new word. They didn't call it the devil's lettuce when I was back in high school. Might have made me think, because deep down I had the Lord in my heart, and I could never say his name in vain, and I think I probably would have thought of that back then. Who else has something they want to share? Why? How do you know Jesus lives? How do you know this is real? I'll get to you after the sister here, Brandon.
Oh, I didn't want to raise my hand, but I did anyway. I didn't realize how much I didn't believe in demons and all that stuff, and he set me free from so much stuff I didn't even know I have, and I'm like, I've been saved for so many years, and he was just carrying it around, and if I would have just gave it to God, but I didn't, but now I have, and it's amazing, and I'm set free, in Amen. Jesus' name.
Amen. How has he changed your life? How do you know he's real, Brandon?
Well, about 6 months ago, I was dating this girl, cohabitating, fornicating. Didn't work out. While we were dating, she became suicidal. And I started praying and praying and praying for her. I was even going into Catholic churches and praying. But we broke up. And the Lord broke my truck right here in this parking lot. And I believe it was a Wednesday or a Thursday night. Wednesday night. Kevin normally locks the door on the ladies' night. Something told him to leave it open. And I walked through it. And my very first prayer was for my young man over there. Didn't want my truck fixed. I wanted him to be sitting right where he's at. And that's what let me know when he was coming that I had to stop smoking about a week, 10 days before he got here. And I knew if I was going to learn him, I had to learn myself. And quit smoking cannabis, free of alcohol for a year and 4 months. And then one night, more further proof after coaching him through that long night, till about 3-4 in the morning. We were leaving a men's group. The very first thing I wanted to do was go get a pack of cigarettes. Pulled into the gas station. My son said, "Hold on, Dad." And he prayed for me, quit smoking, because he wanted more time with me. And I still wanted a pack all the way to the door. But as soon as I walked through that door, something changed. Something came over me, and I didn't get cigarettes. I got the pouches. So I'm working on that. But the Lord's going to get me through those as well. But I haven't had a cigarette since. So, and the further proof is just the consecration I'm living every single day. And it feels good. Feels good, and I feel truly blessed to have Pastor Kevin, have Alex Beattie and the Beattie family, and my son to be right where he's sitting. That's the big test that I gave the Lord, and he brought it to fruition.
Amen. How about this middle? Amen. Yes. How has he changed your life? How do you know that he's real? This middle section here, can I get a witness? You hear that old, can I get a witness? By the way, thanks for singing this morning, Joe. That was great.
So this is actually about my singing. So when I was in high school, I loved to sing. Absolute favorite thing to do. But I was kicked off the choir because I couldn't sing. And I mean, I could sing, but I couldn't sing by myself. And but last week when Heather was here, God just, I went up there for something completely different. I went up there for my legs hurting, and God knew what I was up there for, and God told Heather what I was up there for. And And I've just been healed of that torment. And it's just amazing to be able to sing again.
Amen. You did a great job, too. Anybody else in this middle row? Because I'm going to move down here. Vicki.
I was 22, and I had my oldest daughter, Josette. She was a baby. And my sister and my mom and my brother got saved by somebody came to their house. So they asked me if I would let her come to talk to me about the Lord. So I said, oh, okay, that's fine. So she came, and her name, she's a Filipino lady from Hawaii, and her name is Apollonia, but we called her Apple, sweetest woman in the whole world. Six kids, patient, quiet-spoken woman, and she came and she talked to me, and so she gave me some scriptures, like in besides John, she gave me 1 John, that you may know that you have eternal life. And so she talked about heaven. She talked about all my sins. That's what I wanted to hear. I just wanted to hear all my sins, everyone, you know. Yes, Vicki, now and forever and all of that. So I said, okay. And so she said, do you want to do it now? I said, no, I want to be by myself. This is going to be rough. I think I better be by myself. Yeah. So she said, okay, I'll call you tomorrow. And I said, okay. So she, so I did it, and then I just couldn't wait for her to call, you know. And then she said, well, what, Vicki, what did you receive the Lord? And I said, do you have the Lord in your heart or something like that? I said, well, I did, you know, what you said, you know. So I'm think so, you know. I think that's what happened, you know. And she said, I'm going to call you again tomorrow morning, read 1 John again, read those verses again. And so I said, okay. So that's what I did. I couldn't wait for the next morning. And the birds were singing so loudly and so wonderful to me when I heard all the birds singing. And then she said, I said, as soon as I picked up the phone, I said, I know I'm saved. I know that I'm going to have eternal life. I'm going to spend my life with Jesus. I know that I am. Out went the miniskirts, all in the dumpster. All went all my old life, every part of my old life. Records, billions of records, all kinds. I just didn't want any part of my old life. And it all went in the dumpster. And all the women that lived around me were jumping in the dumpster, getting my clothes, getting all my records, because those were valuable during those times. But everything went because she also had given me, he that puts his hand to the plow and looks back is not fit for the kingdom of heaven. So I didn't want any part of that. So I wanted a clean slate, and I am forever grateful to the Lord, forever, forever grateful.
I love that testimony. I don't even know if young people here know what a miniskirt is, and we're not going to tell them, are we? We're not going to tell them. Anybody in this section want to talk about how he's changed and how you know he's real? Anybody? All right. Going once, going twice. All right. James, I was waiting for you, brother.
Okay. I know Jesus lives because I can feel him right now. He's a real person. I don't just read about him. He talks to me. He tells me he loves me. I feel his presence. He answers my prayers. He's a living, breathing, real person that I have a relationship with every single day, and he talks to me every day, and I talk to him. And he's not just a historical figure that I read about. He's as real to me as any other person in this room. And that's how I know that he lives, because I can literally feel him inside of me right now.
Amen. Thank you very much, James. All right. We're going to praise Jesus some more. Dolores, it's all yours.
Amen. Why don't you give God a hand clap of praise, please? You ask me how I know he lives? Because I'm a stroke victim. Paralyzed on my left side of my body. Couldn't do nothing. Couldn't talk, couldn't sing, couldn't do anything. God healed me, as you can see. They had also said that I had a heart attack. They went in and checked and said I had the heart of a 16, 17 year old. So God is good. So you ask me how I know he lived. He's my wonderful counselor, mighty God. He is the Prince of Peace. I'll be up here all day talking about him. I'm ready. I'm ready. Give me a little bit more, please. This is to you. Counselor, mighty God, my Father, Prince of Peace, the great I am. We glorify the Lamb. Can you sing with me? He's wonderful. He's a counselor. He's a mighty God. He's my Father. He is the Prince of Peace. He's the great, great I am. Oh, Jesus, hallelujah. We glorify. We glorify the Lamb. Such a wonderful. I can't tell you how to worship. But I certainly worship God for what he's done for me. And I trust you that you will worship God for what he's done for you. I can't tell you how to worship, but I know one thing for sure. God is a good God. Hallelujah, 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 Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord Jesus. We love you, love you, love you, Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus, we love you, Lord. We magnify you. We glorify you, Lord. Can we just call him and say, Jesus, he's my warrior. Jesus, deliverer. Yeah, 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 Jesus. We glorify the Lamb of God, yeah. Can you just say it with me one more time? We say, Jesus. He's my warrior, yes, he is, yeah. Oh. Can you just thank him for today? Thank you for rising. Thank you for rising for you. We glorify the Lord. Hallelujah. We glorify the Lord. Hallelujah. Can you glorify the Lamb of God? I mean, can you glorify the Lamb of God? I hear people shouting louder than that at a basketball game. And when it come to Jesus, they said I had a big old voice. You better best believe it's for God. It's for him that I live and move and I have my beings. In the name of Jesus, I thank you and praise you.